Call the meeting of the State Government Finance Division to order. Today is Tuesday, May 5th. We are doing this by a remote meeting, and all the documents that could be needed are on the website, the State Government Finance Division's website. So if you're looking for the documents, you can find them there. Committee Legislative Assistant Sprick, have we got a quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Representative Claiborne, have you looked at the minutes for the April 23rd?
Yes, Chair Nelson, I reviewed the minutes and I move that they be approved as written.
And okay, there we go. I'll unmute everybody here. Unmute all. And all members, you unmute yourself. All in favor of the minutes of April 23rd, 2020, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The minutes for the 23rd have been approved. Representative Claiborne, you looked at the minutes for the 27th.
Yes, Chair Nelson, I've reviewed the minutes and I move that they be approved as written.
Representative Claiborne moves that the minutes from the April 27th meeting be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes have been approved. Representative Constantine, you have a bill.
Constantine, but yes.
Constantine, I always make that mistake. I'm sorry. Constantine, I'll move House File 3568 to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Representative Constantine, if you want to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. As we delved into the different facets of the correction system in the Committee on Correctional Reform, what came front and center was a lack of treatment for a variety of different issues, not only mental health, but substance abuse, a recognition of autism and fetal alcohol syndrome. And it actually became kind of overwhelming. So what this bill does is put into place a planning commission to start looking at all the areas of mental health that are lacking in the prisons. It calls for a initial report to be done by the end of 2022, hopefully to grab some of the low-hanging fruit where we know we need more substance abuse treatment, we need more mental health practitioners, but then a final report at the end of 2025 with a more complete list of where we're lacking in the prisons. When I was a counselor in the Blue Earth County Jail, it was commonly thought that there were 30 to 40% of the people in the prisons had some sort of mental health problem. Now I think the general consensus is it's 60 to 70%. That is the difference of better diagnostics, but also a change in our recognition of who's getting put into prison. There's a trivia question, which is, where are the largest mental health facilities in the United States? They are Rikers Jail in New York, Cook County Jail, and the Los Angeles County Jail. And frankly, that's disgraceful. We should be working to divert these people before they get into prison. But once they're in prison, we owe it to them and the society to try to get them treatment to make this public safety stronger. This bill was truly bipartisan. I believe every single person on the committee is the co-author. In fact, the only little hiccup was in my rush to get this done at the end of February and hear it in committee before we left St. Paul. I did not pass the bill around, get everybody's name on it, but I think they did at the end, by the end of March. So truly a bipartisan bill. Something we really need in our prison system if we wish to have better outcomes. And I stand for any questions.
And before we go with questions, I'll move the A1 amendment. And members, this is what it's here for. This is to help pay for it. So I've moved the A1 amendment. All in favor of the A1 amendment to put the bill in the shape it needs to be, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Any questions for Representative Constantine?
Thank you, Mike.
I see no hands going up. If not, Representative Constantine, do you want to wrap up or?
Just real quickly, this is something that's desperately needed in the prison system. In the long run, I believe it will truly be cheaper if we can get people coming out of prison in better shape than when they went in, and it will certainly make our streets a lot safer. Thank you.
With that, I'll renew my motion that House File 3568, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Ms. Spreck, you want to take the roll?
Yes. Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cleburne?
Aye.
Representative Albright?
Aye.
Representative Bacham?
Aye.
Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Green?
Yes.
Representative Hurtas? Representative Hurtas?
Okay, now I'm here. Yes.
Representative Hewitt?
Yes.
Representative Jordan?
Aye.
Representative Keel?
Aye.
Representative Lippert?
Aye.
Representative Long?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Quam?
Aye.
Representative Vogel?
Aye.
Eighteen ayes, 0 nays.
With that, the motion's been approved. The bill's on its way to Ways and Means. Thank you, Representative Constantine.
Thank you, and thank the entire committee, please.
And the next bill we have on our agenda is Representative Lesch's House File 4571. And I'll move that 4571 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee, I believe is where it's going. Yeah, Ways and Means. So we have the motion before us. Representative Lesch, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for having me. Did you want me to do a brief presentation or just go to my testifiers?
It looks like you have an amendment. Do we want to put the amendment on first?
Yes, I would like to do that, Mr. Chair.
I'll move the A3 amendment. That's to add the appropriation to the bill. All in favor of the A3 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? You said you want to go to your testifier first?
Well, what I would say, Mr. Chair, first is this bill represents a significant compromise by the parties that have come together. Last time I presented in committee, I kind of stole the thunder of a bunch of testifiers who were going to come in and say all the work that they had done. And so I don't want to do that. But the various groups that have come in on this include the Sheriff's Association, who were previously opposed, the County Attorney's Association, who were previously opposed, MPPOA, that was previously opposed, and they came together with the ACLU, with the U.S. Justice Action Network. I'm going to leave a bunch of people off on this too, but it's a good group. Some of them are here to testify, and this is one of those things that we were finally able to reach a deal, and it's a significant progress because I've been working on this reform for probably 12 years now. So with that, I just leave it to my testifiers. I think Ms. Decker with the ACLU is here if she wanted to present, Mr. Chair.
I've got Kathy Docker. Director of Government Information, If you want to begin your testimony, please say your name for the record. Ms. Docker.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can.
All right. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to testify this morning regarding House.
If you want to state your name for and
sure.
For the record.
Yep, sir. Yep, my name is Kathy Docker. I am the director of the Government Information Division for the Office of the State Auditor. And I'm here to talk today about House File 4571 relating to forfeitures, and more specifically to the changes made to the reporting requirements of that House file. The Office of the State Auditor already collects forfeiture information, and many of the 15 items listed under the reporting requirement section of House File 4571. The Office of the State Auditor already has online reporting form for law enforcement agencies to use and report the forfeiture information. Now, to meet the new requirements of House File 4571, the Office of the State Auditor, we will need to update our online reporting form and instructions to meet these additional reporting requirements that are already captured in our current form. That includes forfeitures pursued under federal law. Currently, we collect information for forfeitures under the state law. However, we would need to add information on the reporting to include the federal requirements. We will need to update the current form or create a new one to collect how each law enforcement agency and prosecuting authority expends money or the proceeds from the sale of the forfeited property. To meet the additional reporting requirements, we will also need to update our current annual forfeiture report. We do issue an annual report on forfeitures, and we'll need to update to include that federal information. Another new requirement under House File 4571 would be auditing law enforcement agencies and prosecuting authority records related to the inventory of seized property and expenditures of forfeiture proceeds. As part of that audit process, we would also be required to create a report and submit that report to the legislature. That's just a real brief summary of the additional requirements that, that are under House File 4571 that we'll need to take into consideration on updating our form and our reports. Matt Lindemann from our office is here today, too, to talk more specifically about the financial and fiscal part of the bill and how that would relate to our office. Thank you very much, and I will be available for questions if needed.
Great. Mr. Lindemann, you want to introduce yourself and for the record and proceed with what you have to say?
Chair Nelson, my name is Matt Lindemann. I'm the Director of Budget, Finance, and Technology for the Office of the State Auditor. House File 4571 requires the State Auditor to collect additional information about forfeiture incidents, the proceeds from forfeiture property, and the use of such funds, including forfeitures under federal law. In addition, the bill also allows the State Auditor to audit inventories of seized property and expenditures of proceeds from forfeitures. To accomplish this, what is included in House File 4571, the State Auditor estimates it will cost $61,000 in the first year for the Government Information Division to set up, collect, and report on additional information. In the subsequent year, the State Auditor estimates it will cost $29,000 to collect and report the additional information. In addition, the State Auditor estimates it will cost $180,000 for each subsequent year to perform the audits. This estimate is based on the Audit Practice Division spending 1,835 hours auditing approximately 36 law enforcement agencies and prosecuting authorities. The actual number of entities audited will vary from year to year depending on the complexity of the entities audited each year and what is discovered while performing those audits. So in summary, the State Auditor estimates it will cost $61,000 in the first year and $209,000 in each subsequent year to accomplish what is included in House File 4571. And with that, I'm available to answer any questions.
Well, thank you. I've got two more witnesses here, and then after the witnesses, we can go to questions. I have a Julia Decker from the American Civil Liberties Union. Are you on the line?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Introduce yourself for the tape.
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, good morning. My name is Julia Decker, and I'm the policy director for the ACLU of Minnesota. First and foremost,
you're breaking up. We can't hear half what you're saying.
Bill, this included law enforcement. Sorry. Chair Nelson.
If you want to start again, you're breaking up. Your microphone went off or whatever. I'm not sure what.
Oh, okay. My name is Julia Decker. I'm the policy director for the ACLU of Minnesota. I wanted to indicate that, you know, reiterate that we're grateful to all the stakeholders that were involved in this for all their hard work on this bill. This included law enforcement and prosecutors, as well as our and criminal defense lawyers. We're also grateful to Chair Lesch for carrying this bill and for his ongoing work on this issue. Very briefly, strongly in the principles of transparency and accountability. And as we've heard, each year, the state auditor compiles and releases a report on property that is seized and forfeited in Minnesota. And this information is essential to understanding the scope of forfeiture and how the system impacts Minnesotans. Now, through this reporting, we get a variety of information, including how much police and prosecutors directly receive in forfeiture proceeds. However, currently, we do not get information about how law enforcement spends those proceeds. So we don't actually know if those funds are being used for appropriate purposes. So House File 4571 fills in that gap by requiring reporting of how proceeds from forfeitures are spent. So this will provide more transparency to the public, to the legislature, and hopefully confirmation that those funds are being used appropriately. It also expands information that has to be reported about the forfeitures themselves. And so this supports this compromise bill as a needed reform to asset forfeiture that, among other things, shines additional sunlight on forfeiture proceeds. Thank you.
Thank you. And I also have a next item, Nora Sandstead. If you want to introduce yourself for the tape.
Yes, thank you, Chair Nelson. My name is Nora Sandstead. I'm an assistant county attorney in St. Louis County. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota County Attorneys Association. And Ms. Decker and the prior speakers covered a lot of the bill and the differences here. I just wanted to highlight a couple of elements that will affect city attorneys and county attorneys who are the prosecuting authorities in the matter of these forfeitures. In terms of the reporting requirements, there is currently the prosecuting authorities do not have to submit any reporting data to the state auditor's office unless law enforcement fails to do the reporting that they need to do on forfeitures. So this does add some responsibilities on the part of prosecuting authorities, but we see this as a useful addition from our end as well, because it's going to be data that can help us better understand the forfeitures that we're undertaking as a whole. It will enhance the transparency of our offices and allow us to make changes to our policy and practices in light of this data. After we've collected it for a few years and reported on it and are able to reflect. So those are the big impacts for the prosecuting authorities. In terms of looking at expenditures, I think that's another area that the public will be interested in, and that we will be able to show what we've been doing throughout the years in a way that'll be readily available via the annual state auditor's report. I will remain around for questions as well here.
With that, are there any members, any questions? If you want to use the raise hand button on the program, I see Representative Mason has her hand up. Representative Mason.
Thank you, Chair. I guess the question would be to whoever wants to answer it. First of all, thank you, Representative Lesh, for carrying this, because I know this has been an issue that has been a source of controversy for a number of years. I guess I am, the thought of how much is being spent to get this additional information by the state auditor amazes me, and I'm also kind of questioning where the money is coming from. I see some of it is coming from the state highway fund, so if somebody could provide a little bit more background on why all of this money is needed and why the it seems excessive to get this much extra information. So if somebody could clarify that, that would be helpful.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did speak with Chair Hornstein regarding the money from the Trunk Highway Fund. He did agree with it. He knows this is something we've been working on for a long time. Quite frankly, this was the price of the compromise. One of the things that the change makers wanted was an audit to make sure that we knew what was happening with this. Up until this point, we had no idea where the money was going, what it was being used for, any of that. So one of the big concessions that was made by the proponents of the bill was not to move to straight criminal forfeiture in lieu of having a robust reporting system whereby we could better understand what was happening. The law enforcement coalition agreed to that, and that's how we arrived at the compromise. So that's the reason for it. In terms of why it's needed and what it's going to be used for, I would leave that more to the crafters of the fiscal note, which who are here today, I guess, is the auditor is here, or maybe fiscal staff can speak to it as well.
Does anybody want to jump in and help on that, or otherwise I'll go to Representative Green, who's on next on my list.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was hoping to have somebody from just regular law enforcement that actually does the forfeitures and does the paperwork. But maybe I'll direct my question to the county attorney. I have talked with some of the people that process these vehicles. They tell me that they really do have some guidelines on how that money can be spent and where it has to go. And they also tell me that a lot of the forfeitures that they're getting aren't even paying for the paperwork that they're doing. And so even though I'm reading through this bill, I like this bill a lot. I'm concerned about the fact that now when you come to the reporting, it's almost like you're telling law enforcement, we think you're guilty of something, and we're going to spend a bunch of money to find out if you're guilty instead of waiting for a complaint to come in and then dealing with the complaint. So to the county attorney then, do you have any information at all from law enforcement as to how they're spending the money?
Ms. Sandstead, I guess that's directed at you.
Yes, I can speak to that question, Representative Green. There are currently in place rules in the statute that won't change very much with regard to how these proceeds can be spent. And in fact, that information is already public data. Generally speaking, it's just not mandated to be reported to the state auditor at this point. So there will be this additional reporting requirement for law enforcement and for prosecuting authorities to disclose where the spending is happening. But that's already information that we have available as public entities within essentially our budget and our accounting. The restrictions on the spending are laid out in the statute, or both statutes, for DWIs and controlled substance forfeitures. And they're essentially limited to capital expenses, a supplement to the operating fund, training, education, things of that nature. There is a clarification in this bill that sort of defines a little bit better the limitations of the spending, but the inherent ways that this money can be spent will not change, and that remains public data. It will just be now under this bill reported to the state auditor's office in addition to maintained by those public entities. Did I fully answer your question?
Mr. Chair. Representative Green.
Yeah, thank you for that. Do you have any information from law enforcement as to what this might cost them on a local level? Because if you're going to start this reporting, now their costs are going to increase. And if it's already costing them money to do the forfeitures, this could, in essence, start running them in deficits on these. So do you have any information? Have you talked to them on that?
Ms. Sandstead.
Thank you. I've spoken with law enforcement about the bill generally, and we talked about some of the reporting requirements. Because they are already doing reporting, this is essentially adding additional questions onto the reporting. I don't know that there's going to be a significant increase in cost from the end of reporters on this data, but I don't have more specific information than that.
So Ms. Stanstead, they're already doing reports, so we're adding a couple of questions, so it'd be answering 12 questions instead of 10, just to throw out a number, Ms. Stanstead.
It's essentially 16 instead of 8 on the types of forfeiture, and then 3 or 4 additional questions on the reporting, I think.
Thank you. Representative Green.
Well, thank you for that, and you know, to the author of the bill, I'm probably not going to support this because I agree with Representative Mason that it's a lot of money to spend to the state auditor. And it kind of makes me sad because there's a lot of things in here that I've thought for a long time should be fixed. But I think we could fix those without the added reporting. And with the other changes that are being made to the bill, I find it hard to believe that you're just going to be able to put a couple more questions in. I think you may even be looking at more court cases for people that are going to file to get their vehicles back, which, in my opinion, some of them shouldn't have been taken in the first place. But if there was a way to fix that so we could just change the law and say to law enforcement, this is what we want you to do now, instead of saying, we don't think you're going to do it, so we're going to audit you and make you file all these reports, even though you've already got the records, if we need them. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Keel, I see you have your hand up. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious, and I might have missed it. Was funds before used out of the trunk highway portion to fund this program or the bill? But I wanted to know if it was earlier done that way.
Representative Lesh.
Mr. Chair and Representative Keel, no, this was all funded out of seized property. So
right.
Everything that they got was solely based on property that they seized from folks administratively. And we did not do, well, the state auditor did do an audit out of their own internal funds as allocated from the general fund. But maybe, is that what you're referring to?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to know, this is we're taking money out of the Trunk Highway Fund to fund this as opposed to how it was funded previously.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Keel, yes, this was not funded at all previously. This is a new thing. The only thing we got previously was the state auditor of her own volition did an audit, a previous audit of forfeiture that had not been done in, I don't know how long, it was a long time. And so that was previously funded through the state auditor, but previous to this, there was no allocation similar to what you're seeing in funds taken from the Trunk Highway Fund.
Representative Keel.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I'm with State Representative Green and Representative Mason. I have some real concerns about taking money out of one fund. I realize we have to find the funds some of this may need to be funded, but it's also a bit high, especially in light of the fact that it was done earlier within the forfeitures. So, yeah, thank you.
Any further questions? I'll wait here a couple seconds. I don't see any hands jumping up. Oh, Representative Elkins.
If somebody could explain what is the nexus to the that justifies funding this from the Trunk Highway Fund? The Trunk Highway Fund is generally, you know, constitutionally dedicated to state trunk highways. I am aware that we, for example, fund the state patrol out of the Trunk Highway Fund, but what is the nexus here that allows us to draw from the Trunk Highway Fund for this particular purpose?
Representative Lesh.
Ms. Chair and Representative Elkins, you hit the nail right on the head. The state patrol is a major part of the seizures and forfeitures in what they rely on to do their training. And that is why the funds were allocated from that source. The State Patrol through the BCA and Department of Public Safety was a party to the negotiations. And to those negotiations, I want to say, I think I probably need to stress for the committee again, this was a broad array of stakeholders that came together and hammered out this agreement after about 10 years of bitter fights between all parties. And so this decision to fund audits or reviews was not you know, just done willy-nilly. Oh, well, let's just do this and take it out of the Trunk Highway Fund. Mm-hmm. This was a big deal. And it took a lot for all the parties to get there to arrive at this. I would state, too, that this bill is not what I wanted. Okay. I had a bill that was criminal forfeiture that required a predicate criminal conviction prior to the time government could take your stuff. That was vigorously opposed by the coalition of law enforcement, including the state patrol. And when they actually hired a mediator last fall and hammered this thing out over 6 months through a mediator and arrived at this conclusion. So I think I want to stress again that this was not just a slush fund that we'll use to fund this. No, it's directly related to the problem of ongoing forfeitures and our inability to track them. The conversation I had with Chair Hornstein was that he's well aware of how long it took for us to get here. And he gave a nod and saying, yes, this is the appropriate place for it to be.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Roberts, could you describe the fiscal note and the portion about the transportation portion? I understand this a clone of this bill was heard in the Transportation Committee. Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. As far as the clone of the bill, I'm not sure that transportation has heard it. I believe a clone was sent to Ways and Means. But you can see the discussion dealing with the State Patrol beginning on page 5 of the fiscal note. In the discussion, it says the State Patrol does not have the staffing needed to meet the tracking and reporting requirements of the bill, and so they would need a new FTE to fulfill the requirements. So that's where the costs from the Trunk Highway Fund are coming.
Thanks, Ms. Roberts. So because it's the highway department or the highway patrol that's asking for it, and they're funded out of the Trunk Highway Funds. That's why the money's coming from the Trunk Highway Fund. That seems pretty simple.
Yes, sure.
Auditor Blaha wants to chime in here. She's got add a little light to the hopefully a little light to the situation. Auditor Blaha, can you identify yourself for the tape and then proceed?
Thank you, Chair Nelson and members of the committee. This is Minnesota State Auditor Julie Blaha. I wanted to address Representative Mason's and some other members' questions here. I think what is some of the confusion maybe is that the costs we're putting forward are not simply costs to do the reporting. That's a smaller part of the fiscal note. The biggest part of this fiscal note is doing auditing. If we were to audit 10% of the entities involved. Now, again, that may not be as much. It depends on how many we need to audit. So just wanted to make sure people don't believe it's simply the reporting function, because as I think I've heard people say, we already do a lot of that. A lot of that is already part of our infrastructure. This, the key part is that auditing. Now, if we truly want that trust developed deeply and want people to be ready to, because as you've seen, whenever you have a compromise like this, trust is a key issue, and we believe the audits can be a key part of that trust going forward. So I would suggest that, especially you have a lot of people coming together around something difficult and a really hard-won compromise, the audits can help keep this on track going forward. But again, ideally, we would love it if we didn't have to audit that many. We would audit fewer if we can. So we'll audit only those that need to be audited and no more than that. And I can stand for some other questions, and my staff is also available if we need to get more technical. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Auditor. I've got Representative Quam. You have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having been on the auditee, been audited, and been on a corporate group that has audited, just adding a question or two doesn't mean, oh, there's just a little bit of time to write it down. Oftentimes, researching, compiling, and finding the correct information can take days, so that the discussion about, well, the different departments would not have a huge amount of burden added to them, workload, and you know, personnel-wise, I think is not the whole story. And then the author mentioned that there was a lot of discussions and back and forth, and people came to a resolution. It'd be nice to know the form of the Senate bill.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Quam, the Senate bill, the original version was the same as the one that I wanted, which was criminal forfeiture. But I spoke with Senator Newman, and he will be offering this compromise version in the Senate as well.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It being a date in May, and because of the complexities of hearings now, if we had normal deadlines, these things would not have made that. I do have some concern if it doesn't look as if this is happening in the Senate, because the runway is just about gone. So my issue is that there's not a lot of clarity of what the burden on local departments. You know, it's not just Highway Patrol that's going to have to do this. So I'm not sure that this bill is quite ripe. The issue is overripe to anyone that's downwind of it. I'm sorry that it doesn't seem ripe right now, but I do have concerns about it being ready to take care of in the end of, you know, our session.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lesh.
Representative Quam, you're certainly entitled to your opinion, but this bill passed through judiciary with unanimous bipartisan vote, and it passed through public safety with a near unanimous vote, bipartisan. There were only two members who voted against it. So you can be an outlier based on your assessment and your first impression here, but I assure you that everyone else has reviewed this thing thoroughly for about 10 years and is pretty happy with the iron being hot on this. And this would be a missed opportunity if we didn't do this. And I wouldn't be doing this if I hadn't had conversations with the Senate about where they're at and their ability to come through on this. So I'm satisfied with the movement over there.
And members, remember, this is here because we're funding the state auditor, which is in our purview. The state patrol and other portions of the fiscal know, while we strayed from that a little bit into that. That's the part of the transportation division's purview. So members, I see what Representative Hertosh, you have a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Lesh, thanks for taking this up. I've been involved in it in years past and have found some of the headwind that you have encountered as well. It doesn't appear to me that there's been any protections in terms of civil rights. The seizures appear under the language that I've perused here still occur and property is taken before the case is adjudicated. And I read in some of the language that it's held as evidence, if you will. There seems to be rather permissive language of seizing everything within proximity that they feel is related to the alleged crime. And I note that it also includes real property, not personal property. So I guess I would just be curious to hear some of your thoughts on that. I was hoping that some of these reforms would be improving that area of civil rights.
Representative Lesh, and remember, we're here for the funding of the auditor, but Representative Lesh.
Sure, Ms. Chair, Representative Hertas, I agree. I wish those things would have been included. I think you know that that's what my position is. What I would offer is that this language moves us much closer to the substantive result that we were looking for in seizure of property, not as much of the procedural result, that being due process and other provisions. Substantively, it moves us substantially. Procedurally, it moves us a little, but not as much as we wanted. So I would just offer that.
Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just curious about that, and we'll stay on point here with regard to the audit. So.
Thank you. Any further questions? Give it a second here. If not, Representative Lesh, you want to wrap up and hopefully we can get you out of here.
Well, I thank you. I would just note again that the folks that have worked on this thoroughly, Ms. Chair, know that difficulty to at which this compromise was arrived at. Like I said, it passed through judiciary, bipartisan, unanimous. Public safety clone bill passed through with a couple of nays, otherwise bipartisan. And I ask that you respect the stakeholders' genuine and sincere efforts at compromise, which is what they arrived at, which rarely happens. Hiring a mediator around here to do that, they made it happen. I'd like to see us get this done. That's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And members, with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 4571, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Ms. Spreck, if you can take the roll.
Yes. Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Albright?
Aye.
Representative Akam?
Aye.
Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Representative Green?
No.
Representative Hertas? Representative Hertas? Representative Hertas?
His microphone is muted.
He's coming. What was that? Can you repeat that, please?
Yes.
Yes. Representative Hewitt?
Yes.
Representative Jordan?
Yes.
Representative Keel?
No.
Representative Lippert?
Aye.
Representative Long?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
No.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Quam?
No.
Representative Vogel?
Yes.
Ayes and 4 nays.
With that, the bill's referred to Ways and Means. And members, House File 1740, we've been informed and found out just as the meeting was going on that it's already in Ways and Means. So the amendment that Representative Hewitt has will have to be done there. We don't have possession of the bill. And with that, members, look at my amendment here. With that, members, I guess we have no further business for us. We're adjourned.